Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. This week's first and only contestant is a very high ABV ale from the Belgian brewery Antwerp's Brau Compagnie in Antwerp in northern Belgium, the Flemish part of Belgium. I am setting it up against itself. To test beers in a live show is always to limit oneself. You don't have the time to sit and slowly sip on the beer and contemplate the beer's flavors if you're going to manage the review in less than 15 minutes. It means that you must have skills and experience beyond the ordinary and or a template. I have a template and experience. The beer assortment is called Nonkel Pater.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Our sole contestant this week is the double or double type of beer, Nonkel Pater, from Antwerp's Brau Compagnie. The beer type double is always a strong dark beer. I think it is safe to say that Antwerp had a craft beer culture for decades before it was even a thing in America. They just didn't name it. The ingredients in the Nonkel Pater double beer assortment are water, barley malt, wheat malt, hop, and yeast. It's strange if there's no sugar in it, but it is possible that there is no sugar in it. They at least don't mention on the bottle that sugar, honey, or syrup is one of the ingredients when brewing this beer. Usually, breweries have one of these ingredients in double beers to be able to brew that high ABV level that is associated with double ales, even if they post-ferment the beer in the bottle. I am beginning to suspect foul play, that they have poured liquor in the beer, especially since they have such an unusually low preferred serving temperature on this ale, 7 degrees Celsius or about 45 degrees Fahrenheit, according to the bottle. That is an even lower preferred serving temperature than most pilsners and lagers have. Breweries sometimes recommend very low preferred serving temperatures when they want your mouth to go numb, so that you won't sense the taste in their beers, since it is not a very good taste. But I hope I am wrong. Also, the label on the beer is partly in Swedish, albeit this doesn't necessarily entail that the beer is a lower quality export beer. It may be the importer's requirement. The expiration date on this particular beer is March 2026. Today it is early October 2023. So this beer assortment has a lifespan of more than 2.5 years, no doubt because of the very high ABV level. The Nonkel Pater beer assortment comes in a size 33 centiliters, i.e. about an 11 liquid ounces bottle. The two-folded bottle label is mostly green and orangey in color, with a pretty boy sipping or gulping beer from an unorthodox beer glass on the front label. The Nonkel Pater costs 35 kronor at Systembolaget. That is about $3.17. That is $1.15 per every 4 ounces of beer. The preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment is, as I mentioned, according to the bottle, 7 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 45 degrees Fahrenheit. That is a surprisingly low preferred serving temperature for an ale, and a double ale at that. The Nonkel Pater has got a whopping 9% ABV level. 9%. How about the experience then? Okay, let's see here. I'm gonna open it up. Nice aroma. Really nice aroma. And it's got a more than a 4 fingers tall head. That's much. And let's see here. Just gonna turn on the light. It's dark, very dark in color. Black, actually. Pitch black. I really like the aroma. Okay, first impression. Well, it's a good beer, is my first impression. And it's rich. I don't think they have poured liquor in it. At least not right now. They actually brewed this beer. It's what I call it, bread like, no. Well, wort bread taste or pumpernickel's taste, bread taste. Is it yeasty? I can't sense much yeastiness in it, but is it malty then? I'd say so. Taste on my palate. Well, vanilla, chocolatey, a little bit, yeah. Sweet or dry? Well, it's sweet, of course. So I think they have brown sugar or cane sugar in it. But they don't say they have. But it's sweet and oily. It's also a little bit coffee-like, perhaps. But more chocolatey, I think. But is it bitter or hoppy? I think it's kind of bitter. And hoppy. It's nearly candy-like, but not really. Well, you could say it's candy-like. Not so much fruity, but no, not so much fruity. Spices, probably some spices. I don't know, herbs, perhaps. I think, maybe. Who knows? The undertone is, it's a little bit creamy almost. The undertone is oily. Carbonation level, I don't know, but I guess it's pretty high, normal. And a little bit creamy, I think. Or oily, I don't know which to name it. Yeah. It's not acidic, and there are no aberrations in this beer. It's dark roasted, of course. And I doubt it if it's filtered. I doubt it very much. Is it well balanced? Yes, it is. Let's see if there are any other flavors in it that's on my list, my template. One moment. Excuse me. So it's well carbonated. Banana, perhaps? No. More vanilla than banana. But I'm surprised they don't say they have any honey or brown sugar or cane sugar in it. It really surprises me. I can't see how they can brew this beer without it. But well, it's sweet. Is it club-like? Perhaps. No, I wouldn't say. It's more of a chocolatey taste. Not chocolate, but I mean, it's a beer. Beers are beers. And you can't really give them more credit than that they're beers. And it's difficult to ascertain or discern flavors in beers because they can be very complex. This is a little bit complex, a little bit complex beer. It's not a bad thing to be a complex beer, to have a complex beer. I mean, to drink a complex beer. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Let's see here. Poured up the last bit. I don't think, maybe it's more fudge-like than chocolatey, actually, but it's very similar in taste, fudge and chocolate in beers. But I think you could say either, but I'm not sure actually. I can't discern all the flavors in this beer from each other. And that's about what I have to say about the flavor in this beer. It's a very good beer. So what about grading then? I must grade this beer. I didn't think I would actually grade this beer very highly, a very high grade. I didn't think I would grade it a very high grade, but I must. I was fooled a bit. But it's brewed, it's not liquor in it. They didn't pour liquor in it. It's a brewed beer. And it's a very good beer. I need to grade this beer a 9 or a 10 devils out of 10 possible. I think I will grade it today 9 devils out of 10 possible. It's a very good grading for any means. I mean, really, it's a good beer. But, another day, I might have graded it a 10, but since I've been in contact with the brewery, one moment, excuse me, pardon me, what was I going to say? Anyway, okay, absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines. Military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. The coming October War 2023 in the Persian Gulf. I maintain that there will start by the US long time planned war very soon in the Middle East, within a month's time, probably in less than 2 weeks' time. It is the most obvious choice of victim, Iran, and not Saudi Arabia. Well, I wouldn't really call Iran's theocracy victims. Iran has actively been engaging in the skirmishes and wars taking place in the whole of the Middle East area for many years now. They are just reaping what they themselves sow. But if the US make war, like they did in Iraq in 2003, it will be ordinary Iranian people picking up the tab. The US phosphorus bombs and thermobaric bombs and depleted uranium shells will see to that. Phosphorus bombs are really, really ugly. Getting exposed to them kills people in a truly horrendous way. It can be compared to dying by torture in the Middle Ages. The US hurled them against the city of Fallujah in Iraq in 2003 because they could, and that's that. It was the phony Christian George W. Bush's responsibility. Shock and awe and all that. United with Israel reports October 1st, 2023. Quote, Iran has the infrastructure in place and the know-how to make a nuclear weapon in less than 2 weeks, according to the US Department of Defense 2023 Strategy for Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction report. It is assessed that Iran is not pursuing a nuclear weapons program at this time, but has the capacity to produce enough fissile material for a nuclear device in less than 2 weeks, said the report, which outlines Washington's strategic approach to countering the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction globally. Further, the United States assesses Iran to be non-compliant with its CWC, Chemical Weapons Convention, obligations. For example, Iran has not submitted a complete chemical weapons production facility declaration to comply with CWC processes. The United States is also concerned that Iran is pursuing dual-use central nervous system-acting chemicals for offensive purposes, added the report. End quote. It looks like the Biden administration has another ace up its sleeve in order to create casus belli for the US in the soon-to-be war. The threat of chemical weapons, which Iran hasn't utilized up to now, but they are, quote, pursuing it. But what the heck is dual use supposed to mean? Casus belli means cause for war in Latin. They like their Latin, the big brass. But let us move on to our second lesson for today. It goes like this. Is it possible for Zelensky to fly over Ukrainian territory and other European states with impunity? Russia does not have any units with air defense systems based in the states that Zelensky flies over. Zelensky is not so stupid that he flies over Russian or Belarusian territory. Anti-aircraft systems are quite defensive in nature, and above all, the earth is curved, which is why the associated radar systems of anti-aircraft systems such as the S-400 cannot see aircraft flying below a certain altitude at a certain longer distance. A radar system in Kaliningrad might be able to see an airplane flying over Uppsala or 400 kilometers from there at an altitude of at least 9,000 meters. Radar systems with a range longer than 400 kilometers are not reliable enough to lock one or more missiles on the target at those ranges. There are several missiles that have a built-in radar which can lock onto targets from 20 kilometers or so, after being guided by a ground radar most of the way. But at longer distances, All Zelensky's pilot team needs to do is fly at a slightly lower altitude. Above the range of 500 kilometers or so, all our radar can do is lock onto space targets. Or why not the moon? But it will give incorrect position readings at such distances if they use a ground radar. There are over-the-horizon radar systems where the radar emission bounces up into the atmosphere and down to the ground in a zigzag pattern more than once. But these are limited to early warning use, at least without satellite support. A conventional radar system can in principle only see straight ahead and above the horizon. The fact that radio waves under a certain frequency bounce back in the atmosphere is what makes it possible to transmit radio over very long distances and pick up the signals thousands of kilometers away sometimes. Radar waves are just part of the electromagnetic spectrum that ranges from low energy shortwave radar to higher energy spectrum such as gamma radiation. Radio, which includes radar, microwaves, infrared light, visible light, ultraviolet light, X-rays, and radioactivity are all different spectrums in that order on a common frequency scale. My name is Roger Klang. The sources for this lesson was United with Israel. Thank you and see you later, alligator, at a while, crocodile.